My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. Grace Marie has been active in the issue for a very long time, opposing Hillary Care. It was known back in the mid-90s, and Obamacare. And now, of course, she is very active in the debate over how to repeal and replace Obamacare, which is what is the top legislative priority for the Republicans appears to be here in the new Congress and the new Trump administration. Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
First of all, let's talk about what can be done before Congress acts. Specifically, there was some talk over the weekend, I believe, by Kellyanne Conway on the Sunday morning shows, in which she said the Trump administration might simply decide not to enforce the mandate. Since that's part of a congressional statute, what can and can't be done on that front?
Well, there are a lot of powers given in the law to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Tom Price, the current chairman of the House Budget Committee. He would have more than 1,300 powers get granted by the law to make key decisions. One of them could be what kind of waivers people would be able to have to avoid the individual mandate. This is the least popular, the most unpopular part of this very unpopular law. And he could basically say if your premiums have gone up more than 5%, then you are not subject to the individual mandate penalties. He can't make them go away, but he could certainly very much reduce the impact of them on people. And he could do that in a lot of other ways that are perfectly legal.
Let's talk about the legislative approach here now. I'm sure there will be fine-tuning as we get closer to actual repeal and replacement votes. But one of the first ideas out there right now is from Senators Cassidy of Louisiana and Collins of Maine, which would repeal Obamacare from the federal level but give states the option of keeping it if they believe it's working well for them. Before we get to the merits of that, how would that work?
Well, actually, the law itself also has a section, Section 1332, that says if you don't think Obamacare works really well for you, when, of course, most states don't, then they say, you know, come to us with a better plan. And so that's actually in the statute. The Obama administration made the rules unbelievably difficult, but the Trump administration could relax those rules and give states a lot more authority, especially with the new director of Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, who would have ultimate authority in what's approved, Seema Verma, who's very well versed in what states need to have more flexibility. So a lot of those things are really very much on the table. A lot of this is going to be discussed, Greg, this week at the retreat. The House and Senate are holding a joint retreat. President Trump is going to join them on Thursday, and they're devoting a great deal of time to discussing what they're going to do with repeal and replace. The individual mandate, the employer mandate, the taxes, the Medicaid expansion, all are on the table for repeal. They're going to provide a safety net for people. If you're on Obamacare now, you'll be able to continue to keep your coverage for at least 2 years. And then after that, they're building the bridge so that people will have better options going forward. So that is going to be a top issue during the retreat. And I think also the fact that President Trump, in his first minutes in the Oval Office, signed the executive order giving big license to the federal agencies to look for ways that they could provide people with relief from this law. So clearly it's a top order priority for him. It's been a top order priority for the Congress. So they're moving forward with this. And as you say, with replace, members are very focused on that as well.
So just to clarify, Grace Marie, when talking about these states who might, for whatever reason, choose to stay with the current health care law in this country, would it be a stopgap measure until other options are available, or would this continue to be an option for them if they choose to beyond that two-year window you were talking about?
Well, you know, Obamacare is going to really start. This whole law is not working, so this is going to start. It's like House of Cards. Once some parts of it start to fall, others do as well. But the money can continue to flow. That's really the main thing states want is, can you give us some money that our citizens are getting through the exchanges, through their subsidies, and for Medicaid? give us more authority about how to spend that money. And some of the states that have existing exchanges that they've set up may continue to use that exchange. Others may decide to do private exchanges. Others may set up a new kind of much more flexible state exchange to give people the opportunity to buy plans that are a lot more flexible. One of the things that President Trump has said and that Republicans in Congress have been talking about for a long time is giving the states the authority to once again oversee their health insurance markets. It has not worked for the federal government to tell citizens of Manhattan they have to buy exactly the same coverage as somebody in rural Montana. That doesn't work. You've got to have more flexibility with the states to decide what kind of policies to approve that meet the needs of their citizens and the resources of the state. And yes, there'll be some federal money flowing with some strings attached, but a lot fewer strings than were attached to the Obamacare provision. So the states will have a lot of leeway to use these new resources, meet goals, but not have to jump through all of these tens of thousands of pages of Obamacare regulatory hoops, and instead thinking, what's the best way to solve this problem?
We're talking with Grace Murray Turner. She's the president of the Galen Institute. And Grace Murray, first of all, if in fact some of these policies that Republicans and conservatives like yourself have been pushing for a long time, like competition, like being able to build your own plan for what you need and not what the government thinks you ought to have, how quickly will premiums, deductibles, and those sorts of rates change?
Well, that's a real issue because there's a long lead time. You know, the plans have to figure out what is the state saying are the parameters, you know, what's considered insurance. Then they have to design their policies. Then they have to go back for approval, and then they have to start marketing them. That can actually be an 18-month, even two-year process. So realistically, they're just not going to see any relief this year. I think that's going to be very hard. But they're trying to see what could they do to speed this process up so that people have better options in 2018 at least. Certainly 2019, but, you know, it took 4 years to get Obamacare even up and running at all, and we saw what happened when they launched the exchange and it crashed. So a two-year window is twice as fast, but hopefully because they're going to engage the states, they'll be able to get that done more quickly.
The Democrats, of course, are promising all sorts of horrific things that will happen if, in fact, the repeal and replace happens, including up to the loss of 20 million people with their health care coverage. Assuming we have this window of transition, do you expect there to be significant growing pains, or will it be relatively smooth, all things considered?
Well, of course. I don't think it can possibly be smooth. It's one-sixth of the economy, and Obamacare threw a big grenade in the middle of it. And so we've got to figure out how to undo the damage. It's going to take some time. But the nice thing about conservative ideas is that we believe in consumers. We believe in markets. We believe that incentives can solve many of these problems. That can be done a lot more quickly than writing these tens of thousands of pages of rules with Washington trying to control the whole thing. So it can actually happen much more quickly. When health savings accounts, for example, needed provision in the tax code to allow them to be set up so that people could put tax-free dollars away for and then set up these health savings accounts, that legislation passed in early November of 2003. On January 1 of 2004, less than 2 months later, the first health savings account was sold. That's how quickly the market can turn around if you're giving them new flexibility, new freedom, and the ability to turn around to sell something that people actually want to buy. They sold it on the minute after midnight on January 1 of 2004. It was remarkable to see how quickly the private market can respond.
Grace Murray, last question, and let's put it in political terms because that's, of course, how most lawmakers will look at it, in addition to, obviously, what policies they think will be best for their constituents. But in terms of the transition and the American people getting to see what the new reality would look like, assuming the Republicans get most of what they want here, by November 2018, are people going to be happy or still trying to figure out what's going on?
You know, I think that's one of the reasons that Trump put this as his top priority, that Congress is, because they want to be able to show people results, to show that they've heard them. You want more competition, you want more choice, you want more flexibility in the kind of benefit packages you offer, and we want to make sure the most vulnerable continue to stay covered. So all these people that are saying 20 million people are going to lose coverage, they're talking about just the repeal part. Republicans are talking about repeal and replace. So the replace part is going to rely on the markets, rely on states, and make sure that people are covered in the meantime. So, you know, I don't have that crystal ball. I wish I did. But I know that they are very, very motivated to show results before the 2018 elections.
No, makes sense that they would be. Grace Marie, obviously a long way to go here. Thanks for helping us understand where we are right now.
Thanks, Greg. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.